So how does the government explain that it follows the health advice and yet turns out Ashley Bloomfield not once but twice gave advice that was ignored? He wanted us out of level 4 a week earlier, South Island to level 1, and now the border at Auckland could have, should have gone. Much of the North Island that is red should be orange and the South Island should be green. COVID Minister Chris Hipkins with us. Good morning.
Good morning.
Do you follow health advice or not?
Yes, we do. Of course we follow health advice, but we get a range of health advice and we also get other advice that we also take into account when we're making decisions.
So when Ashley said we can move out of level 4 a week earlier, what was the other advice that said, no, you can't?
Well, if you look at the advice, the health advice often shifts and it's often contingent on other health advice. So if we take the advice around the boundary around Auckland, for example, health didn't want us to move to the traffic light framework until Auckland was fully vaccinated, fully double vaccinated. Now, Auckland would still be waiting for that if we had followed that course of action. So we brought forward the move to the traffic light system, but we left the removal of the boundary at about the same time as health were indicating we should be doing that. So, the health advice often isn't just saying, just do this one thing. It's a package of things. And sometimes, our judgment will land on a different course of action.
And what you told the Waitangi Tribunal yesterday is that the border stays because of Maori, correct?
No, I think the Waitangi Tribunal, or the claim against the government at the Waitangi Tribunal is that Māori interests were not considered when we made that decision, and that's not true. Absolutely, we consider the interests of all parts.
Well, you said yesterday these steps included tightening restrictions for gatherings, etc., boosting vaccine efforts, keeping Auckland's boundary in place for 2 extra weeks. So we are here this morning because of Māori.
No, that's not correct.
But that's what you said.
What I've also said is that, we consider all of the New Zealand community, and Māori are one of the communities that we do consider. We also consider the unvaccinated. We consider low socioeconomic people. We consider the business.
What's low socioeconomic people got to do with the boundary?
Because we're wanting to protect the most vulnerable communities, and we've got a higher concentration of unvaccinated people.
So are vaccinated poor people more vulnerable?
Anyone who's not vaccinated is more vulnerable. It just so happens that if they are living in a community with a higher concentration of unvaccinated people, that makes them more vulnerable.
So are there more unvaccinated people in poor communities?
There are higher concentrations of unvaccinated people in lower socioeconomic communities.
So that's why we've got a boundary in Auckland this morning. This is what you're telling the Waitangi Tribunal yesterday. Because Māori couldn't get vaccinated, low socioeconomic people can't get vaccinated. That's why we've got a boundary.
Look, like I said, there's always a variety of factors that we take into account when we're considering that. The health advice, as I've indicated, was to remove the boundary after we've moved to the traffic light, when we moved to the traffic light framework, but not to do that until everybody in Auckland, or 90% of everybody in Auckland, was fully vaccinated. Now, we still haven't hit that target yet.
Well, you have, actually. It's 91%, but you're doing it on your dumb DHB thing, so you've been hoisted by your own petard, haven't you?
Well, no, because actually, if you think about it geographically, there's a higher concentration in one part of Auckland who haven't been vaccinated. And so we've made sure that we are getting a good spread there, but we're also trying to, ring-fence the risk until we get to that, 90-plus percent vaccination target.
So when Ashley says South Island can go to green, what was the other advice that said they couldn't?
Well, he never gave that advice.
All right, level one.
Well, no, that isn't correct. He did not give advice that the South Island could be at green.
So the reportage is wrong. He said a week early out of level 4 and the South Island potentially to level 1.
Oh, if you're going back some time ago,
yes.
There was quite a lot of discussion there about what levels we should go to when we moved out of that original level 4 restriction. Now, that was some months ago.
Well, it doesn't matter when it was. You ignored his advice. What was the alternative advice at the time you were taking that you were ignoring his?
Well, the alternative advice and the factors that we were considering there was that there was still potential to spread across the country, and we've absolutely seen that.
Who was telling you that?
And the months that have followed.
So if he was happy, the world's most conservative Director General of Health, if he was happy, who was telling you they weren't?
Oh, look, he's involved in the discussion, so the written advice is only part one strand of the
advice.
Yeah,
but who else are you taking advice from? That's all I want to know.
We also get advice from other public health sources, including
Sir David. He's the Director General of Health,
providing advice to us, and we've had other epidemiologists providing advice for us.
Oh God, is this Hendy and Jackson again? Are these guys? Are those the people holding us up?
Oh, the modelling certainly plays a role in the cabinet's decision making.
So this is the same guy that you gave $6 million to, Sean Hendy, who said 7,000 people were going to die. You're still listening to him while Director General of Health Ashley Bloomfield is saying we're good to go at level 1 and level 4 earlier.
Oh, look, you know, the modelling, as I've always said, modelling is just one of the sources of advice and one of the sources of information that we consider.
The Ministry's obfuscation around court matters, has that been sorted once and for all, or do you think you've got a problem?
Oh, look, I think the Ministry were put in a pretty tight spot where they had different stakeholders who wanted different things. You know, the Whanaora commissioning agencies wanting access to vaccination data for everyone and every Māori in the country. Other iwi saying, actually, we don't want our data to be supplied to them. And the Ministry of Health found themselves in the meat in that particular sandwich. And ultimately, you know, they will respect the court's decisions there.
What about MB? Are they a problem? But Murray, you up on the Murray Bolton case this morning with a bloke who's got out to Australia because he set the precedent?
No, I haven't got the latest information on that.
There's a guy called Tim Wong. He's a stunt coordinator, wanted to go to Australia, tried seven times in the MIQ lottery, couldn't get out of the country. Murray Bolton funded his case, went to court, won again. You guys lose.
Oh, look, I'm aware that the Bolton case, and we're certainly aware, I mean, I don't have the details of that particular case, did set a precedent. It did mean that MIQ's had to change some of its processes, and it has been a factor that we've taken into account in our board of decision-making.
Do you worry about the survey that's out this morning? It's actually your survey on the number of parents who aren't going to get their kids, 5 to 11-year-olds, vaccinated?
Yes, I think that's an area of concern. It is a reason for making sure that we're being very thorough and careful in the approval process for our paediatric doses, and that we're providing parents reassurance that it is safe, that we'll roll out that vaccine in a way that is safe, assuming it approved, and that the approval will in fact be a very robust approval.
But you're not mandating vaccinations for school kids, so you're sort of wanting them to, but you can't make them, therefore it's going to be a cluster next year, isn't it?
We will not be making it compulsory for children to be vaccinated.
No, we know that, and therefore, if that's the excuse as a parent you're looking for, you've just provided it.
No, I think you're not mandating it.
So you're going to have a bunch of kids going back to school in February. Some are, some aren't. What are they going to do?
Well, vaccination for children across the board isn't compulsory.
No, I know, but what I'm suggesting to you is this thing isn't working. It's going to implode on itself as you get more and more examples of some are, some aren't, some are following, some aren't.
Look, I think if you look at the overall level of people willing to be vaccinated amongst the adult population, when we started the adult vaccination rollout, we were seeing similar levels of hesitancy. And if you look at it now, those hesitancy levels have disappeared. So, you know, we've got a confidence-building exercise to do here. I'm a parent myself. I understand. Parents are very careful when it comes to their kids' health, with very good reason. So we've just got to make sure that they're given good information. And I think that will help to combat a lot of that hesitancy.
All right, appreciate your time, Chris Hipkins, COVID Minister.